We're up to Simin Sadiches Halacha Dalet. Also Liva Ke Eitzim Oyafilu L'Shavan. It's on page Reish Mem Beis, on the second page of the handout. Page Reish Mem Beis, the laws of Yom Tov, what and what you are not allowed to do on Yom Tov. So we're discussing primarily the laws of cooking and food preparation. Anything that cannot be done before Yom Tov can be done on Yom Tov. Now, we learned yesterday the laws of making cheese. Cheese is something which is questionable. If you're allowed to make cheese on Yom Tov, is the cheese that we make before, is aged cheese better than fresh cheese? This was our discussion yesterday. Now we're going further discussing about chopping wood. We need fuel for the fire. We are so lucky today, we have no concept of what this is all about. I don't think we realize how much firewood you need to make a chalent. Okay, we make a challenge, you just take a pot, you put in some beans and potatoes and some meat, and you put it on the range, and you turn on the flame, is it low, is it high, and the whole agnes nefesh is exactly to turn the knob to the exact right setting. Could you imagine what it was like, the time of Chazal, to make a pot of challenge? Do you know how much firewood you need to go out to the forest, to chop down a tree, to cut into different sizes, little pieces, bigger pieces, larger pieces, then to schlep it home and to put it in storage and to take it out and to light it up? What went on, and if you need it, yeah.
The challenge was kept in the town bakery oven.
The whole community came to one big pot. It was a major ordeal. We are spoiled. But here, Mikra Adin, we are discussing the laws of cutting, chopping wood on Shabbos. So here is something, this is clear, this is a very easy halacha, that there's no need to cut the wood on Shabbos. You can cut the wood Erev Shabbos. There's no difference if the wood was chopped today or the wood was chopped yesterday. When it comes to food, it may be that grinding spices, if I grind the spices yesterday, by today it's the taste is dull. But when it comes to firewood, it doesn't make a difference if you cut the wood today or you cut the wood yesterday. Therefore, we fall back on our regular rule of thumb that anything that could have been done before Yom Tov may not be done on Yom Tov. That's what it says over here. Also, Levakeh Eitzim, it is forbidden to chop wood, or Afilu Lashav, and even to break it beyond into smaller pieces. You see, I make a fire, you have to have different sizes. Campfire, we all know you have to have different sizes of wood in order to get the fire going. You're not allowed to take a larger piece of wood and break it into smaller pieces of wood. That's Tikkun Maneh, and they made after on Yom Tov, because you could have done it before Yom Tov. You also Lakeh Eitzim, Yimakom Shem Befuzarim, you're not allowed to gather. That's Ma'amer. You're not allowed to gather things that are scattered about to make one pile that also could have been done before Yom Tov. There's no excuse. Let's take a look at the Sha'arim Mitzirim Halacha Oitzches Nabadim Levakeh Eitzim Ayim Shari Tshuva B'Shem Mor Gitzia V'im Tzarech Lamar Bishul Kedei Raso. If you want to accelerate the cooking of the pot and you don't have the option of turning up the flame, Rasha'i Levakeh Gam L'Dakos Ketzas. He says it's permitted if the fire is not cooking at a speed which is satisfactory. You want to accelerate the cooking process, you're allowed to take the wood and to chop it up into smaller pieces. Rak lo yivaka v'yaniach lefanov v'yaset sibur elo yinah. The only thing you cannot do is not to chop it up, to take a piece, to take the wood, make smaller pieces, and put it on the side for storage and make a pile v'yaset sibur elo. But what you are allowed to do, being that it is for the immediate tzarech ne'ochel nefesh, kol bikash also yashlich miyad al ho'esh. If you take one piece of wood and you make a splinter and you immediately put it into the fire, so that's considered a melacha that's been done letzarech oichel nefesh miyad, right away. But if you're going to cut up some splinters and put it on the side and wait 2-3 hours and then do it, that already borders on the prohibition of esh shaloi letzarech oichel nefesh, because it goes to show that you could have done this yesterday. It's not something which is necessary at this very moment. The ayim shomar sham. The motul lahniach eitzim lachem l'taner cham. You're allowed to put moist wood into a hot oven. Liyavsham l'tzarch bo bayom. V'ein bezem yishum tikun mane. It's not tikun mane. Kevin the gam b'lo yatanu hoyim yavsham yaleim b'meshach hazman. If any would dry out, elisha al yidei chay matanu memarim l'siyavish. It dries out fast. In other words, you want to go use a wood for cooking, and the wood is too moist. It's going to make it, so you want to put this wood into another oven. There's already an oven that is operational, and you want to basically dry out the wood. So is that called you doing a malacha on Yom Tov? Because you are taking something that is not fit. The wood, the way it is now, is not ideal for cooking, for fuel. It's going to produce smoke. Wood that is moist produces smoke, and the smoke is going to seep into your food. It's not going to the food's not going to taste good. So by me taking this wood and putting it in a hot place and causing it to dry out, to release its moisture, I'm being misaken a money on Yom Tov. And it's not for the immediate purpose. It's not for the immediate purpose of Echol Nefesh. He says it's not problematic because even if you would not warm out the wood anyway on its own over time, not necessarily today, this is a general rule in the laws of Tikkun Moneh, something that would happen by itself without your intervention and now you're trying to accelerate the process by doing something, is not called the malacha of Tikkun Moneh. Tikkun Moneh is only when, if not for your assistance, your participation, the object would not be right. This is a very important insight. That's a very good chiddush. Even without warming up the wood, the wood will dry by itself. By putting into the fire, you accelerate the process. Furthermore, if you would use this fuel, this wood, in a large bonfire, it really wouldn't make a difference that it's a little bit moist. The only time a small amount of moisture makes a difference is in a small fire. So since technically the wood is fit, so the small enhancement that you're making by drying it out is not considered to be a tikkun moneh and its mutter. Alkein loy mikre tikkun. Two, you say this in the concept of tikkun moneh. If it's generally fit, you're just doing something to refine it, or that's not a tikkun moneh, or if it would happen on its own and you're doing something to accelerate the process, that's not tikkun moneh. And now when you want to add to the fact that you're going to use this today for cooking purposes, it's going to be mutter. Halacha hey. Now he talks about lach of bina. We all know that bina, you're not allowed to build something. Building is not like what we think. Building a building, even a very simple structure that there is a tefach. There is a tefach between two walls and a roof, and the roof covers over a small space of even one tefach. It can already be called binyan. For example, this is the common case of putting together a child's crib, or putting together some type of net on top of a child's crib. So we all are familiar with this halacha that you're not allowed to spread. A covering on top of walls. If you have pre-existing walls and you want to spread something on top of it, that's problematic. That resembles binyan. Putting a roof, putting a shelter on top of a wall is doime to binyan. The solution is to hold in place the shelter, hold in place, and push the walls into place. So if you have a crib and you want to put a net over the crib, so the way you're supposed to do it on Shabbos is to hold the net with your hands, and someone else, or you with your feet, can maneuver to push the crib into that area. So the ceiling has come first, and then the walls have appeared. That is Shaloi Kederech Binyan. The typical way one does construction is first you build the walls, and then you put on the roof. But if you do it in the reverse order, when it's not Binyan Deraisa, and it's only a Shail of a Derabanan, when you do it with this Shinui, it becomes Mutul Lechatkhila. And this is what we're discussing here when it comes to making preparing food on Yom Tov. You want to set up the pot and you want to set up the food and the fire. Problem is, by putting the pot on top of the fire, you're creating a shelter over some pre-existing walls. So you have to do it first, put the pot in place, put the shelter first in place, and then set up these walls. And he explains as follows. When a person arranges the wood upon stones, lehavir esh, in order to kindle a fire, oser mishum de oisa oil, you're making an oil. You're putting wood on top of walls of stone. That would be the way you have two stones, and then you put some wood on top of it, and then you're able to light it from beneath. That it can be a shayla of boineh. So what should you do? V'tzaruch shiyase shinui. What is the shinu dehainu sheyoychas eso etzim biyadav? Hold the piece of wood in your hand. V'yitein eso avonim tachteir. And push the stones in from the side. Okay, this is a general rule which you find many different applications in all the laws of Hilchos Shabbos. Whenever you're constructing some type of crib or mattress or playpen on Shabbos, you always have to do it in this manner where you first put the horizontal surface, and then you push into place the vertical surface. When you put a pot on top of stones, to make a fire beneath it, first hold the pot in your hand, and push the stones in from the side. Don't put the pot directly on top of the stones. You're not allowed to blow the fire with a bellow, kidei shelo yase kederech sheumnim oisim, because of uvda dechol, an entirely new idea. Even though you're doing this for the purpose of cooking, but this is something which is a little bit over the top. It's not necessary always to go and to take a bellow and to add oxygen in order for the fire to burn better. It's more than it's absolutely necessary for your food preparation. So what you're doing resembles uvdo dechol. It's a ma'aseh umin. So you shouldn't do it. Instead, what can you do when you really need to do? You do it with a shinu. We're not familiar with this because we don't have these things anyway today. V'olam noyhagim heter b'mapuach shel balibatim al yidei shinui, through a shinui. L'hopchoi milamal l'mata, to turn upside down. Whatever this is. Avo b'mapuach shel umnim, but a professional bellow, afilu al yidei shinui, is awesome. Halacha zayin mutar liver kidneys mashu tzarch loisayam l'shal of boyer. Are you allowed to do the malach of boyer for the purpose of food preparation on the yomtiv? The answer is yes. You're allowed to select the kidneys mashu tzarch loisayam avalo binapach v'lo bikhvara, but you should not use a sieve. You could do it by hand. Do it by hand, but do not use a sieve because that could have been done before yomtiv. A napach and a kvar v'gam lo yitnam l'sech hamayim kidei shiyot. Do not take beans and put them in water to cause the psyllus to float. This could all have been done before Yom Tov. Oh, ha'echal l'food, ela yivar biyad. The best you can do is to use your hand, because using your hand is not called boirer ben ha'toira. Boirer ben ha'toira must be done through a utensil. The yilkat mashu noechlo yoiser, and you select what you want. V'im noechlo lulkot ha'psyllus. Here is a chiddush, that if it's easier to select the psyllus, which really is resembles boirer, because boyer is always when you select the bad from the good. Yilkat hapsoilas. You're allowed on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do this. On Shabbos, you can't do this. Shabbos, you're not allowed to select the psoilas from the eichel, but on Yom Tov, there's the leniency that it's being that l'zerachol nefesh. If you're doing it biyad, you can even select the psoilas from the eichel. The im leichel, look at how eichel, yilkat eichel, you do whatever it's easier, because you're doing it for food preparation is mitoich. Once it's mutter l'zerachol nefesh. Halacha ches. Kemach, flour. Shagvar hoya melukad ella shahu roitza lorokto yashenis. Flour that's already been sifted. But you want to sift it a second time. Yesh lorokto yayde inihudi yayde yashinui. You have a guy do it or do it through the shinui. Tahainu shirakid bachoya napoch. You should do it from the back. The uptake the sieve and turn it upside down and do it in this unusual way. V'chen yasa bimatsoy stoichos matzamil. If you want to sift it, you have to do it with an unusual way or through a non Jew. V'kevach shadayin loy melukad also lorokto yafiloyde inihudi yashinui. But a flour that already has not been sifted only for the very first time, so this is usur. There is no excuse. Because it could have been done before Yom Tov. So flour that's not edible, that's not been sifted the first time, it cannot be done. Lokto ella, you can do it yourself, but you can't do it. It says alidei inihudi v'vashinui. Either the kenach shadayin loy merukad also lorokto ella alidei inihudi v'vashinui. You can do it with a shinui. Okay, also liver psilis mitoch hakemach. You're now allowed to select the psilis mitoch hakemach. Okay, kagoyin shenof al sechet service odaimer. Ve'afilu liver mitoch matzais kisusais es hapiruim hagdolim. Also, you're not allowed to do boyer. You're not allowed to select boyer with your hand. To select psoilas, here he holds, you're not allowed. These things cannot be done in Yom Tov, because these things could have been done before Yom Tov. Okay, halacha test. Lisha Mutar Biyav, kneading. Kneading can be done in Yom Tov, because that you can't do before Yom Tov. You can't knead the dough before Yom Tov, it'll spoil. When we call Makam Lo Yimdoid Esakemach, you should not measure the flour. Ela Yikach Bo'imidas Hadas, take flour by approximation. Vim Eina Mitzamsim Esamida Ela Peches Emosif Mutar. And if you're not Mitzamsim the Mida, a little bit more, a little bit less, that is permitted. As long as you don't do it, don't measure. Halacha Yud Botsek Mechutach. Shemavshilin lo'ochlin noodles. Shemavshilin lo'ochlin pre-cut types of flour products which you cook for food irritative with gravy. Yesh lolush be'erev yamtiv ki hayishenim yoyser tayv. We're always falling back to the basic rule: if something that is old, is better than what is new. There's no excuse. Yishanim yoyser tayv. Whatever is old is always can be done before yamtiv. You do before yamtiv. V'im lo losh be'erev yamtiv yilush be'yamtiv al yidei shinui. If you forgot or chose not to, you can do it through a shinui. The hainush imidarko lolush al adaf. If you normally need it on a board, then today yolush al mapa, knead it on a mapa, on a tablecloth. Uchidoyme v'im tav shul she'inim kinskalkal imperos yiveishim uchidoyme yesh levashlam b'rav yamtiv. Any type of tavshil, anything that could have been cooked before yamtiv, like dry fruit, a dish that's made from dry fruit where it's of no difference, it does not spoil over time, must be cooked before yamtiv. Halacha yudalef isa shalosha b'yamtiv mutul ha. Important halacha, what about hafrashas challah? Are you allowed to be mafresh challah on Yom Tov? We know that on Shabbos you're not allowed to do this. That's one of the three things that you say Erev Shabbos, Ben HaShmashos. Isarte me'raftel halika v'saner. Because when Shabbos begins, you're not allowed to be mafresh challah. Because challah, it's tikkun money. It resembles as if you're being masaking something. It cannot be done. So here we have Isa shalosh b'Yom Tov, mutur, since Eichel Nefesh is mutur on Yom Tov, you're also allowed to mafresh challah, mutur lahafresh men challah, aval also lasarfa. But here is where you're really stuck in the middle. You can't burn the challah. Normally, what do we do with challah? We burn it. You put it in the oven and you burn it. But you're not allowed to burn it. Why? The ain't sarf from kadoshim yamtiv. There's no excuse. There's no purpose. You're not allowed to burn kadoshim on yamtiv. V'gam also lafaisa mishum de'ena ru'lachila. So let me bake it. No, you can't bake it. And then we'll throw it out later on, or we'll do something with it. No, you're not allowed to do a malacha shaloy letzarech echol nefesh. No one bisman hazeh is eating truma, is eating challah, which has the status of truma. So there's no purpose in baking it either. It's maybe there's no purpose doing that either. El shari shakul. So the best thing to do is if you're making challah on Yom Tov, so you separate the challah and you put it away in a safe place, and then mitzvah Yom Tov you burn it. Dough that was kneaded erev Yom Tov, here you're not allowed to be mafresh challah on Yom Tov. Because you could have done it, there's no excuse, because you could have done it before Yom Tov. If you go and need it over the very first time on Yom Tov, if you need it over the first time on Yom Tov, so then there's nothing you could possibly have done. I have an excuse. I could not have passed by mafresh challah before Yom Tov because I first needed the dough on Yom Tov. That's why you're allowed to be mafresh challah. But if I've already needed the dough before Yom Tov, so who's preventing me from separating challah before Yom Tov? I forgot. Now you want to do it on Yom Tov? That's no excuse. There's no oichel nefesh. You're not going to be you mean masakin money. There's no, and for what purpose? So you're not allowed to do it. Also, lahafresh men bechala b'Yom Tov. Ela oifa. What's the solution? You should bake the entire batter. The oichel maniach tzas pas, and you shall eat and leave over a small portion. Sheyafresh mimenu b'motzei Shabbos. Leave over a small portion of the bread, and from that which you leave over, that will be the chala l'mafreya. V'soch sheyaniach pas kedei sheyafresh mimenu shmi. And you must leave over the bread so that you'll be mafresh. In other words, don't just leave over the challah. You have to leave over a section of the actual bread, and then you'll be mafresh the challah from that portion. Sheyafresh mimenu v'yishar oiksas, there'll be something left over that's not challah. Halacha yudbeis also legabel tit v'yamtiv. You're not allowed to knead cement. V'afilu al yidei ein yehudi l'chein imtzach listan piatana. Why in the world would you want to need make cement? Exactly, a crack in the oven, or more than a crack in the oven. have, we don't have this concept. We had this in the Gemara, is that they would seal, they would actually seal the oven with tit. They would smear tit, cement, on the opening of the oven. So here, I want to prepare cement in order to seal the oven so the food will bake well. A pressure cooker. You have to prepare kneaded cement before Yom Tov. Gam likach refesh meharachov, to take a clump of clay from the street for this purpose also. Unless you prepare Yom Tov, if you want to go take a clump of clay from the street and use this to seal the oven, it's muksa. You're not allowed to do this on Yom Tov itself. If you, the best you can do is prepare it, separate this cement from before Yom Tov. There's also Shiloh of Soyser, because if you're going to take earth from the ground on Yom Tov, that's a Malach of Soyser. You're removing some that's Mechubal Karka that borders the Malach of Soyser. It has to be done from before Yom Tov. The Nochon Lizar Shloi Latuach Es HaTit Oya Refesh. It's good, you have to be careful not to smear it, because that's not necessary. You can get the job done just by dabbing it. Ela Yistemuhu Beloi Ticha, just dab the cement or the refes on the opening of the oven, and don't have to smear. Smearing is mimareach, smoothing. Some are of the opinion that mimareach smoothing is also even l'tzarech oichol nefesh. I'm not exactly sure why that would be different. I don't know the answer, but I have to go look it up. And Simon Tovkov Zion, Siv Zion over here, brings on the Maram Kamas. I didn't look it up, but some hold that again, these things are not nogea to us, because we don't really prepare our food in this. So we have other problems. We have more complicated problems today with all of our
gadgets,
Shabbos ovens, Yom Tov ovens, and so on and so forth. But these are obviously, these have all the major yisodes. Halacha Gimel, Oif Hashem Bebeisai, birds. Poultry. Shehem bebeisai b'chatzar ha'im dim le'achilim. Kavaru hurgulu b'bayis. If they're ready, hurgulu b'bayis shafilu yotzim l'chutz boim le'erv le'beis. So they know how to come back. These creatures are very well trained. Even if they go out into the street, they get lost, they make their way back into the bayis. Mutu l'tzoydan afilu chutz l'chatzar l'tzorch yomtov l'shachtan. Here now another issue, tzeda. Are you allowed to trap birds, to trap animals on Shabbos in order to shechta, in order to produce meat? You could have done this before Yom Tov. Why should you be allowed to go out into the field? Tzudelitzoyed, go out into the field and trap for me, and trap a deer. What's the excuse? You could have done this yesterday. So the only time it's mutter is if it's not really tzeda. What is an example of that's not really tzeda? Domestic animals that allow themselves easily to be trapped. There's no malacha deraisa of tzeda. For example, we have pets. It's a very big shaila. A dog and a cat. You have a dog and a cat, and you close them, you lock them into a room. You have a guest. You have a dog, a pet dog, and you have your next door neighbor is coming over for Shabbos, and he's petrified of dogs. Petrified of even goldfish. Even that he's afraid of. So what do? You lock up the dog in your bedroom, or wherever, you lock it up. So you tell the dog, come here, dog. Come here. And you take the dog into the room and you close the door. It's a shayla, a malacha, the rice of tzeda. Is it tzeda or is it not tzeda? So the general rule is that they're very easily trapped. They're suckered into your care. That's not called tzeda. So if you have here poultry, you have birds, and the bird's here now, it's time to eat you, Mr. Bird. Okay, Mr. Bird, big bird. Big bird here, it's time to dine upon you. Come here, Mr. Bird. We're going to shecht you. Tzeda. If it's a domesticated bird, it's not tzeda. That's what he says. Avol mutter, the second line from the top, mutter l'tzoyda nafilu chutz l'chotzer l'tzorech yamtov l'shachtan. You're allowed to trap them even outside the chotzer l'tzorech yamtov l'shachtan in order to slaughter them. Even outside the chotzer, because they're domesticated and it's not really called trapping. They're submissive. Avol shaloy l'tzorech achila. But if it's not for the purpose of eating, also l'tzoydan, there's no excuse. V'im chadoshim. Let's say they're new pets, new birds. They're not yet familiar with their environment and they don't trust you and it requires skill to trap them, then shlohugulu asu litzodan afilu litzorach achila afilu kishahein bebeso. It goes without saying that if they're out in the field, but even when they're indoors and it's already confined and you just confine them a little bit more, it is asur. Why? Because it still resembles tzeda. It might not be tzeda deraisa because they're already confined and they're easy to catch, but it does resemble tzeda at least midrabanan. And the rule of thumb is, I could have done this before Yom Tov. Anything that you could do before Yom Tov does not automatically become mutter on Yom Tov itself. Ach b'layla, but at night, kishahin yoshim mutter l'kachton, because at night they don't move. At night they're already trapped. Due to the fear of night, these creatures don't move one iota, and therefore you are allowed to take them in your hands on night. If it turns out that what you take is not fit for consumption because it's not healthy, it's too small, it turns out that you will metaltal muksa sheloy litzarch. Animals are muksa. You're not allowed to handle a dog and a pet. You're allowed to walk them. You make her, then you're allowed to take a dog. Make her, then you're allowed to take a dog for a walk. There's shalos of carrying. If the leash is very long and the leash goes onto the ground, okay. There are other issues of carrying a shail of an erev, a shail of mar, but it's tiltal min atzad. You're not directly by pulling a dog. That's not called tiltal. That's tiltal min atzad, and that derechlal is mutter. So he, but to actually pick up a dog in your hands, you see this all the time in the street. People, they actually pick up their pets. As long as it's a small pet, they pick up a cat, pick up a dog. So on Shabbos, that is clearly also midin muksa. A bird, you're picking up a bird in order to shecht for your Yom Tov meal, it is osur, but it'll tzarech echol nefesh, it's mut. But if you discover that the bird is not, it's too small, it's too weak, it's not healthy, then it turns out l'mafreya that you will metaltal muksa shaloy l'tzarech Yom Tov, and that would be a problem. It goes out saying that if you're not planning on shechting the bird is just meant for eggs, to lay eggs, that is certainly considered to be muksa. Halacha yudal, yivani shevach, yoyne shevach, yoyne aliyah, the pigeons in the chicken coops, and the pigeons that are in the attic, even though they know how they know how to come to their nest, they're trained because these things are more difficult. The yoyne shavach and the yoyne aliyah are more elusive; they're more slippery. They have slippery wings, and when you think you're just about ready to trap them, you won't trap them. When was the last time you ever ran over a pigeon when you're driving your car? Did it ever happen? You very rarely see pigeons, casualties, on the road. Why? But when you're driving, don't you always think they're right in front of you? They just somehow what?
I killed one.
You killed one? Oh,
right. Ooh. Remember where?
Dave Winfield.
Oh, yeah. He flew past my car and I accelerated without thinking, and he hit my grill.
The grill. Well, this is the whole thing with the planes. Remember, Miracle on the Hudson? Miracle on the Hudson, how long ago? 2 years? 3 years
six
ago?
Years.
6 years! Wow!
It was the sixth year.
What a miracle. Halfway with fella, right? The pigeons.
They keep their marks on your cars, though.
The pigeons when they get hit. They're marked. Yeah. Okay, but they are elusive. So even though since these type of pigeons, the poultry that we eat, the chickens, whatever, I don't know what do we eat? What do they call what we eat?
What?
Chicken? It's called a chicken? Everything has an exotic name today.
Hens.
We eat chickens. So these things that don't even fly. They hop around. They can't fly, these creatures. The chickens that we eat.
Oh, the chickens don't. They get hop. A little bit off the ground. They don't get any real lift.
So they don't get it. That's why you're allowed to trap them. You're not really not. They're very clumsy. They're fattened. They're force fed. They're brainwashed to eat a lot in order that they can be heavy. But these yoyne shevach, these doves, we are in the coops. They are elusive, and therefore to trap them would be a malacha derais of tzeda. Period. What about if I want to eat for Yom Tov? You want to eat for Yom Tov? So you should have trapped it yesterday. You should have caught them. There's no excuse today. You should have caught them and trapped them and prepared them the day before. Halacha Tesvav ha'ogud shel ha'ogud the ban shal ragli ha'ifos mutar la'achar shchita l'chatchan oy l'sarfan. So you have a bird. The bird is ready to go. You tie up the legs before Yom Tov, and now you shecht it. Are you allowed to cut off this this tie on its leg? So it's mutar. You're allowed to stitch birds so that you stuff chicken. So stuff chicken, you're stitching. You're stitching. You're tfira. Tfira is a malacha deraisa. Not on food. There's no tfira on food. It's a malacha midrabanan on food. But being that it's little tzachach nefesh, you're allowed to stitch.
You
have to go and put the thread in the needle before Yom Tov. The im Yom Tov. Also why? Because that's tikkun maneh. That is called tikkun maneh. It's also called kshira. When you put the needle in the throat, you have to tie it, make a knot. That is something you could have done before Yom Tov. There's no excuse. After you stitch it, you're allowed to burn off the remaining section of the chut. It's not called, it's called, it's why is that mutter? Well, it's not a constructive act of labor, that's for sure. And I guess it's l'tzorech oichel nefesh. It's not healthy. If it's going to remain in the food, it might be dangerous. I don't know exactly. Halacha tezayin, dogim shebibibar, fish in the fish tank. If the only way you can grab them is with the utensil, not with your hand, it is also, if you have to use a special net, a special tool in order to trap the fish, you're not allowed to trap them. The only time it's mutter to take fish, fresh fish, out of a tank is only if you could take it by your hands. Is this such a thing today in any fish store? Where they have live fish floating around in a tank? Doesn't exist such a thing, right?
The Essex Street Market used to have, but no more.
Oh, they used to have live fish in a tank?
I used to go with my mother on the Lower East Side.
In a tank?
Yeah.
In salt
tank, yeah,
water? What kind of water?
I used to get upset because he used to ask my mother, "What do you want?" And my mother would pick out the fish, and then he would say, "Sorry, Charlie." My mother said, "I can't. You gave him a name. I don't want it."
Today, the only thing that I see, you go in front of the fish store in Avenue J, you see them flopping around. You ever see them?
No.
Flopping around in the crates. Sometimes they get loose.
Sometimes.
They get loose, but there's no tank. They're just alive. They're still alive. It's a residual.
Fresh.
What?
They do it in restaurants.
The tanks.
You pick a crate.
Oh, yeah?
A lobster.
A lobster. Delicious.
Supposedly, Kyle fish tastes the same.
Okay, but this is what it says here is that if the fish is in a tank on Yom Tov and you want to put your hands into the tank and take out the fish, kol hakavod. But if you need a special tool, a special net in order to trap it, if you put it in your hands, it's going to escape. That already is a maaseh tzeda, and the maaseh tzeda is aser when it could have been done before Yom Tov. Dogim shebibibar, im yevshel l'tofson biyadayim, you can't take hold of them by your hand, ela b'chli aser l'tofson. Aval, im yevshel l'tofson biyadayim, mutu l'tofson, afilu b'chli, but if you can take it with your hands, then you're even allowed to use the utensil, you don't have to get your hands dirty. V'im yesham dogim harbe yitzach sheyatsm biyavish Yom Tov, zeh shehu roitzel lakachas biyam tov, you must specify which fish you want eat on Yom Tov, because they're muksa. If you're going to take out a fish out of the tank and then you're going to discover that the fish is too big, it's too small, it turns out she asked for simba because you might turn me with tal muksa l'mafreya. The yim tzarech l'chulam, let's say you need all of them. Yazin es kulam d'chayin l'shayom abar Yom Tov kol elu hadag ma'ani ma'azim l'yindi, you should specify it's not muksa, I need all the fish for Yom Tov. Halacha Yudzayin. Halacha Yudzayin. Safik tzeda v'safik muchan aser. If it's a safik, it's suffik tzeda, that's one halach shayla, suffik muchan asur. Well, if you have a suffik, if you're going to engage in tzeda, the fish is, the animal is trapped, it's not trapped, or the suffik muchan, you're not sure if it was prepared before Yom Tov, if it's muksa, if it was designated, it holds as asur. Not exactly sure, there must be more to that, what that means, I don't know what it means more. Well, the tzarech gadol yesh lohakal b'Yom Tov sheni ach loy b'Rosh Hashanah. If a person has a suffik in these two matters, On Yom Tov Sheni you can be Megal, because there are many leniencies in Yom Tov Sheni. It's only Minig Avosenu B'Yodenu, so there are leniencies in Yom Tov Sheni. And another, when it comes to the second day, Rosh Hashanah, we do not apply any leniency, because the second day of Rosh Hashanah is considered to be Yom Ha'arichta. Halacha Yudches, Kol Bale Chayim Shehem Muksim Osu Lahashkoisan Alitin Lahem Mizainis Bisamuch Lahem Ella Barach Tzas. All creatures, this is not only for Shabbos, it's Fiyamtiv, this Fiyamtiv. You're not allowed to put the food directly, you have to put the food in the plate and it goes. So you're not, because you're going to put it directly, there's a concern you may come to touch it. You may come to Mimetaltel, Muksa, animals, pets are Muksa on Yamtiv and Shabbos. From a time called Balichayim, Shem Muksim, Osu Lehashkoisam, Alitin Lohem, Mizoinois, Besamuch Lohem, Ella Barach Tzas. Halach Big problem. It's now Yom Tov, you do Maisa Shechita, and now you discover that the animal, the bird, is a treifa. Now it becomes muksa. Also, the tatlo kimosha muksa, and you have to have all the rules of muksa, which, if it's a graf shalwe, it'll be mutter. Aval, imashach, shechet, behema, benimsa treifa. You're allowed to put it away in a place where it will not get ruined. Why? Because it serves a purpose. Animal food. And here, the difference between bird meat, it appears that animals, dogs, do not like poultry. Is that true? Anyone familiar with that concept?
Yeah, what?
Dogs do not eat poultry.
Really?
They eat meat. They eat
only meat. They are very discerning. They're finicky.
But they eat the bones from chickens.
Chickens, they do?
Yes, because I've seen people feed them the bones from the...
Do you ever see someone feed a dog chicken? Chicken, a piece?
Bones.
Ask the dog. Cats, they like chicken?
Cats eat poultry. Pretty much anything.
Yeah?
Yes,
they forgot what it tastes like. You never saw someone go to a dog and say, like a top or a bottom. A top or a bottom.
No.
Dark or light meat. Aval.
You asked me, I had a cat that was walking in the street and I was holding a frankfurter in my hand.
And jumped on you?
I was about to put it in my mouth. He jumped up in the air.
Wow.
And he just snatched it out of my hand.
And he had a finger too.
Wow, all right. Avlam shochat behema v'nim says treifa mutu lehatsniya b'makom shloit eskalkel. An animal meat you're allowed to put away where it should not get ruined. V'im yev shlatsniya shloit eskalkel mutu lemochol ed yehudi be'ofen shloit yiktzayt stam. If you absolutely necessary, you're even allowed to sell meat on Yom Tov to a non-Jew, as long as you don't specify the price, as long as you don't do it in a way that blatantly violates the laws of Megachah Memekah and Shabbos and Yom Tov, you do it in a way where we'll talk about money later on. When it comes to geese, which is also very common, you also allow that you can be makel. Now over here, he has at the bottom of the previous page, he has a ice test, the she'onim mitzvah. And you don't find a mora, a gallbladder. This is one of the laws of Hilchos Treifa, that you do a test. What you do a test is sometimes the mora, the gallbladder, gets absorbed into the covet, into the liver. So if you go and you roast the liver, and you're able to discern by either smelling or by just putting it on your, by putting it, not eating, tasting, not letting it taste, because it might be treif, but you allow just to put it to your tongue, and to test if there's a bitterness in the liver, that is an indication that there was. Everyone was wondering where you were, so quiet today. You'll make up for everything. So if a person can detect that there's a tinge of bitterness in the liver, that is an indication that there was indeed a mara and the bird is kosher. But if when a person puts the liver to his tongue and does not sense any bitterness, that means that this creature was born without a gallbladder. There was no gallbladder, that means it's a treif. If it's a treif, the bird is treif. So what is the question? Are you allowed to conduct this scientific test on Yom Tov? Is this scientific test called Tzarech Achila? Yes or no? That is a shaila. So he paskins He says over here, he deliberate, doesn't give us an answer. He says, "I mutter litzlis akavid kidei litan tamar heishiv sham demutter." It's mutter to engage in scientific experimentation on Yom Tov. V'raya mishas demutter lishchay de oif hanidros al smach shiv dekenu achakach on Yachinami Kain. An animal that's been attacked. Nidras means it's been attacked by a violent creature, and the concern is what? The concern is maybe the violent creature injected its claws into the lungs. So what is the solution? The solution is we'll shech the victim, and then we'll do a bedika on the lungs. We'll do a bedika on the evar b'apnimim, on the inner organs, to see if there are any claw. There are different simonim. You can tell by the color. If it became when it was alive, there would be a certain color. I don't know all the small strafes. You can tell if it was killed. So are you allowed to do this on Yom Tov? And there the Gemara says yes. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to do a ma'isa shrita, an animal that is suspected of being non-kosher, with the kavana that you'll do a bedika to determine if it's a trefa or not a trefa. So he says that's no different. In our situation, it's no different. Even though here you're going, you're roasting, you're really doing one step more. You're actually making a fire to roast it. In order to detect if there's a taste of bitterness, that would be okay. He also would be okay. The little time Mara Hishosh from the Mutter Vayim Mishas, the Mutter Lishchodesh Oif, the Nidros Al Smach Shiv Bekenu Achakach V'Yochin Amikein V'Ayin Beshud Avnei Nezer Shecholik Olav He Disagrees the Mechalik Bein Shchita LeMelocha Acheres the Dafka Shchita Mutter V'Loi Melocha Acheres. The Avnei Nezer says you're pushing it. There it's only one Melocha, the Ma'aser Shchita. The Ma'aser Shchita is the primary Melocha that is needed for Achil Oichel Nefesh. There's nothing that's more permitted on Yom Tov than Ma'isa Shchita, because you can't have a walk, you can't have the only way you can have fresh meat on Shabbat on Yom Tov is when you do the Ma'isa Shchita. But the Bedika is something which is secondary, that's not the primary part of Oichel Nefesh. And Avnei Nezer says it's not so simple that you should be allowed to do this Bedika, this investigation that requires another Malacha, a Malacha of Sreifa.
So okay. Are you allowed to do triggering on Yom Tov?
Yes, you have no choice.
Why? You don't eat that
chaylik? No, that's that you want to eat it. That's definitely mutter. There's nothing to talk about. That's all part of Oichel Nefesh. You're allowed to shecht, you're allowed to remove the chaylik, you're allowed to remove, definitely. You're not allowed to do shchita on Yom Tov ela litzarich gadol for a great need. You're not allowed to sell the meat by weight. It's done now by specifying a price. Person should not, when you shecht meat, you're getting yourself into a lot of problems. You can have a lot of leftover meat, and there's a very big problem what to do with it. And you have a yetz hara to sell it, which obviously involves a lot of problems. Okay, let's see over here the oisu. This list shows from halacha. Ein lishchayt behema ein b'shod mahari asad. The haminog shle lishchayt gam oifos biyam. This is what he mentioned from Nechem. You mentioned yesterday. The haminog shle lishchayt gam oifos biyam tov shel rosh hashana shekulanu mevakshim rachamim biyom zeh. Al Kain is an amazing yisod. Al Kain roish lelastos achzorios bepoya lishchayt balechayim. Isn't that an amazing expression? Achzorios. I'm sure Pita would have a heyday when they see what it says over here, that a ma'isa shchita is called an achzorios, an act of cruelty. We do it. What about fish? Asifa ba'alma. Good point. I don't know. But on Yom Tov itself, let's see. Ayn b'shut sharit tzedek d'zeh haminig davka b'gesheinis semich l'shabbos. That's only when it's not. It's the middle of the week. Avol im rosh hashana samach l'shabbos shechal rosh hashana biyom heivav ein kan minog. There's no minog because you need meat for 3 days. The asuda shabbos mitzvahi v'cheinira. And therefore you have to shecht on Friday for Shabbos v'cheinira m'shudiv v'shol v'yosef das the gam b'lvuv lemberg nohagu l'shchoyt biyom tov biyom tov be'yishol rosh hashana l'shach Shabbos ayin sham. So even though we have this maria hasad, that it's not a good thing, it's not a good sin. And Simon Mills, the Shecht on Shah, and Yom Tif, and Roshana, Midas Achzori, it's on the day when Vak Shrachim for life, but when it's the Erev Shabbos, then it's mutter to do on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. V'ayim B'shar Yitzachar, to b'chol Medinas Poilin, she'yeshu, b'chen g'dili hador, lo nishma she'yun hagu, minag zesh lo lushad b'roshana. Never heard of this. Never heard of such a custom not to shecht meat and poultry on Rosh Hashanah. Everyone did it, and there were gedolei hador who nene from this meat. Were prat shechal be'er Shabbos kodesh. Certainly, when it was Erev Shabbos,
this was a minig Hungarian.
Possibly,
Hungarian.
Yeah, okay. Veruba the alma loyachziku klal minig ze ayin sham. Okay, so this is something which requires more discussion. We'll stop.